Hey everybody, welcome. It's time for Atomic Radio Hour, episode 337. If you're watching the program and not listening, for some reason I feel like the lighting is messed up. And I can't quite figure it out. Hopefully the green screen isn't total ass. But hey guys, how are you? Welcome to the program. How has your day been? How has your week been? Thank you for joining me. Today's episode is brought to you by the Ghoulman Entertainment Patreon in the thing below. Check it out. You might be able to watch these episodes live. Just, you know, share this with a friend. It helps out tremendously, but hello. Hi. Sorry for missing last week. I was incredibly sick. I was rather sick, and I just couldn't do it. You can still kind of hear it in my voice. I'm still a little mucused up. I don't know what I had. I don't think it was COVID. It started off as chest pains. Then it went to a sinus infection. And now I'm here. So I don't know what it is. I feel better. I feel a lot better. But, you know, I'm still working through it a little bit. So if you can hear it, you might be able to hear it in my voice. How sick I might still sound to some sort of a degree. Welcome to today's program. Quite the show for you today. Let's start off with some Fallout news. Some new stuff coming at you live, coming at you direct. I'm not going to put any of the screen grabs on screen, but if you look in the timestamps below in the description, I don't know if you guys noticed, but I put timestamps on everything so you can bop around if you just want to see the lore, if you want to see the end segment, if you want to see this, you want to see that. I put that down there for a reason. You know, you want to skip my ramblings at in the intro. There has been more leaks of the Fallout show, and from what I remember correctly from reading it off of Twitter, they've put, they're done filming for the next season. At least the California stuff, there have been leaks of, and again, I'm not going to show it, I've seen Freeside, the Freeside Gate right by Mick and Ralph. I've seen Rita's Diner. And I saw something that seemed to be the Dinky Dino head. I don't know if that's true or not. That's what I've seen. I don't know if that's what it was supposed to be or what have you, but it's what I saw. And we might be closer than I thought. I wouldn't be surprised come, say, November of this year, we get a trailer saying for March of next year, we're getting season 2 of Fallout on Prime. It's quicker than I thought we were going to get it. I think it proves that we're not getting Fallout 5 until 2030, probably 2032. That's kind of my guess right now. We're not getting Fallout 5 till 2032. I think we'll get the announcement either the end of this year or the beginning of next year for Elder Scrolls 6. That's my guess right now. And I think what they're going to do, what they've been doing, where it's like, this is the year. They didn't do it with Starfield. Ooh, punch in the mic stand. Hello, Michael Stand. You know, I think they'll do the same thing where it's like, hey, it's coming out at the end of the year. So I wouldn't be surprised if they're just like, hey, November 9th or November 10th or November whatever. Like, they drop all their big games in November. Get ready, because, you know, a year from now is the game, which I think is fine. I just think it'd be cool to see the same year at the end of it. The trailer that they dropped us is now as old as Skyrim was when it dropped. So I think it was 7 years out of Skyrim, and now that trailer was dropped 7 years ago, if I remember correctly, if my math is right. But we have these leaked screenshots, and it's one of those things where I don't want to post pictures of it because it's becoming increasingly hard to find because they're breaking NDA. I don't know if anybody has snuck onto any of these sets. There was reports that people had snuck onto the Super Duper Mart set for the first season, and that's the best episode of the season, if you ask me. That and the last one. But as far as I know, nobody has tried to get in. Nobody's tried to steal anything. And don't do that. Like, that's not me going like, yeah, go do it. Don't leave those people alone. They're trying to work. They're trying to, you know, SAG-AFTRA just went through a lot. Like, those people just want to work. Let them do what they need to do. Let me know in the comments below what your thoughts of the leaks are. If you've seen the leak, what you think about leaks in general, let me know. Cause I'm kind of two minds of it. I kind of wish I didn't see them so I could be hit fresh. I kind of want to see them, as long as it's not footage of the actual show. I want to see them. I actually recently on Twitter saw someone uploaded an entire SpongeBob movie that's supposed to be coming to a streaming service. And I watched like the first 30 minutes of it. And like, I have a friend who loves SpongeBob, to this day, loves SpongeBob. And I was like telling them about it. I was like, I know you're going to watch it. And I need you to understand that I watched it and I wasn't lying. Let me know in the comments below what you think. And if you saw them, like I said, I'd love to talk to you more about it in the future. So this week's lore is a fun one. It's a cult classic. It's something that I thought actually was bigger than it actually is. And when I went to go do this week's research, I was a tad let down. But before I can do that, I have to thank the Patreon. Because of the Patreon, the show can continue to get bigger and better. I actually have an idea for something that I want to do, and I have to do a little research. I have to do a little research on it and how much it's going to cost and what have you. And then I can make something about it. But if I do wind up doing it, it's going to be thanks completely to the Patreon. So starting from the top, there should be some names on screen right about now, some names that I have to thank. Starting at the top, I have to thank the OG Noah. Thank you, Noah. After Noah, I have to thank Willie DeWitt. Thank you to Willie DeWitt. After Willie DeWitt, I have to thank Mellow Millhouse. Thank you to Mellow Millhouse. After Mellow Millhouse, I have to thank Captain Lennox. Thank you to Captain Lennox. After Captain Lennox, I have to thank Danish Hound Dog. Thank you to Danish Hound Dog. And last but certainly not least, I have to thank Brotherhood Outcast. If you like the show in any capacity, consider checking out the Patreon, the Ghoulman Entertainment Patreon. It's $1 is the cheapest, $10 is the most, and at the $10 level, you get to listen to these episodes, get recorded live in our Discord. Join the Discord. Discord's free. Anybody could join. But you get to join the Discord. Why not come hang out? Why not become part of the episode? You know, you could chime in, say, hey, shithead, that's wrong. Whatever, we have a good time, we laugh, we cry, we sleep, we do other things. I love you, thank you for your support. Let's get into some lore. This week's lore is on a merchant. I wanted to do some merchants. I was sitting around, I was thinking about Fallout, I was sick, and I was thinking about somewhat of Fallout. Actually, while I was sick, I got to rewatch Fallout on Prime, and I was sick thinking about it, watching it, and I was like, damn, what are some, you know, big recurring characters in the Fallout universe that I'd really, really like to see. And then I was thinking about how so much of the game is commerce in a really weird way. Like, I go to this person, I talk to that person, and, you know, you have a kind of interaction, but a lot of it is based on, you know, Moira Brown sticks out to me immensely in the Fallout universe. And I went to a friend's house. I had some friends who moved into a new place, and they invited me over to see it. And, They were talking about, like, a Hear Me Out cake, and I was like, Pam. And they're like, who? I was like, Pam from Fallout 4, the robot. Hear me out. Just like, you know, these merchants, they stick around with you. And I thought of two people, one a little more unorthodox, one a little more orthodox. And I brought it to the Ghoulman Entertainment Patreon. I asked them if they'd like to hear about Mick and Ralph from Mick and Ralph in Fallout New Vegas, or Fallout New Vegas's Dr. Usanagi. If you'd like to hear any lore, and I mean any lore whatsoever from the Fallout video game franchise, be it the show, be it the games, be it the one comic book that we have, consider checking out the Ghoulman Entertainment Patreon. From the $1 tier to the $10 tier, your voice is heard every single week when I ask a poll question, and you get to choose what is the next week's lore. And this week's lore, by way of the Ghoulman Entertainment Patreon, I bring you Mick and Ralph from Fallout New Vegas.
We've got stuff we're not even allowed to sell, people. Only at Mick and Ralph's.
Now, Mick and Ralph are a couple, literally. I was actually going to wait till I said this a little bit later. Mick and Ralph are fellas that love fellas. They're lovers, and they love each other. And before anybody says I'm trying to wake up Fallout, don't forget Fallout was invented by a gay guy. Mick and Ralph are partners. They sleep in the same bed. They also live in their shop that's called Mick and Ralph's. Originally, the sign said Ralph's, and Mick seems to be a bit of an add-on, so it came later. And turns out, I'll talk about it a little bit, Mick did join the ranks a little bit later in opening up a shop, but it's a store in Freeside. By the Freeside East Gate, it's right there as soon as you walk in. It's one of my favorite locations in New Vegas, especially in Freeside, because it feels like a seedy black market. It feels like somewhere I'm not supposed to be. This is the kind of place that I feel like I can get anything I want at any hour for any price. Some of the stuff they sell isn't the best of quality, But the important thing is how they can get things. That's what they're known as. The crier, the kid even says, "We got things we aren't even allowed to sell, people. Only at Mick and Ralph's." And I love that because it implies that it's a black market, but it also implies that it is like an open secret. And I appreciate that for what it is. It became such a vivid memory in my mind of this thing that you could go to so you could procure your goods and you could get a hold of the things that you need. And what I was disappointed by is there's interactions with them. Sure, you can go there to do little bits of quests, but Mick and Ralph are kind of just stagnant. They just kind of sit around, like, you know, there's not anything crazy. It doesn't seem like the world changing affects them. And maybe that's the point. Maybe the point is for them to just set up shop. Maybe the point is for them to just be there and just be like, okay, here I am. I'm going to be a reliable source, because they are, at the end of the day, merchants. They are salespeople that you interact with. But for some reason in my mind, they've been blown up to this astronomical degree of importance. In my mind, they're one of the most important shops in the wasteland. Like, to me, Mick and Ralph is Fallout New Vegas's Craterside Supply. It's that game's Moira Brown. Let's talk about Mick a little bit. The first part of Mick and Ralph's. He sells weapons. Sometime before 2281, Mick partnered with Ralph. They became big-time arms merchants to the Omertas, the family that runs the Gamora on the Strip. They were running their guns to them, and eventually a fella named Troik expedited this process and cut ties with Mick and Ralph. Mick being the weapons merchant, the guy who really procures weapons in Mick and Ralph being the guy who has more consumables and whatnot, and more hard-to-get items. Mick, you can go up to him and go, and this is a quote from the game. I get all of my lore off of fallout.fandom.com, the Nukipedia, if you will. I love these games. I've played these games. I adore these games. But, you know, I use the wiki for a little bit of research. You can ask him, "Do you have any special items for sale?" And he'll say, "Why? Do you work for one of the casinos?" And there's a 30 out of 30 speech check that if you have a 30 or higher, you'll pass it. If you have like a 29 or lower, you'll go, "No." And he'll go, "Every weapon I sell is special." But if you have a 30 or higher, he goes, "Yes." A polite society is an armed society. And then you have access to a bunch of his special weapons. And some of the big things that you can get from him is from the Gunrunner's arsenal. You can get the Embrace of the Mantis King. It's a melee weapon. It's a unique version of a mantis gauntlet. There's a couple other fun things. Some of the ones I have written down here is the Nuka Breaker, a Nuka sign based on Zach Finfrock's Fallout Nuka Break. It was a prop in the show. It was used in episode 3 and episode 5. It's a direct take from something they used in the show. It's one of the few times where a fan creation has made it into the universe. It's an incredible thing that it exists. And if you've never used the weapon, it's awesome. It flickers and it lights up and it says Nuka on it. It's great. It's a well-loved item. And I don't just mean that from like the fan base. I don't just mean that in-game, but it's a well-loved item in the sense of like the people who made the game loved something about Fallout so much that was a fan creation that they included it in the game. There's also Lil Devil, which is similar to the 14mm pistol from the older games. The 14mm pistol in Fallout 1 rips, and it's super dope. I'm totally going to pick that up my next big Fallout New Vegas playthrough, because I think I might do a stealth run. I think I might do a stealthy, small gun, you know, speech pick lock playthrough. I think that's what I'm going to do. And it's a holdout weapon, like I said, so you can put it away and whoosh, when you go in and out of casinos. So if I got to, you know, pop a fella in the dome piece 2 times real quick for a biscuit. Now, Ralph, the other half of Mick and Ralph, sells the consumables. He sells things that are harder to procure. He's actually well-rounded when it comes to computers. It's reported that he has reprogrammed some Securitrons, and if you talk to Rotface, one of the ghouls around the east side of Freeside, he'll say, "Ralph from Mick and Ralph's is no slouch with a keyboard. I've heard he's helped reprogram several robots in his time." So, you know, it could be hearsay because it is from just a ghoul fella on the street who's addicted to chems, but also word spreads fast and you can kind of pick out the BS from the nod. I'd also trust Rotface. Now, when you need to get into the strip, when you need to get into New Vegas proper, you can do a couple different things. You can either have 2,000 caps on you, which I don't think was specified enough in New Vegas, because I always thought of it as like you had to pay 2,000 caps. And then one time I got there with 2,000 caps and found out you just had to have it. And I was like, oh, I'll just pay for it. One of the ways you can get in is have the 2,000 caps. You could go to the king will get you in, or you can go to Ralph and you can pay him with a speech check, a 50 speech check. You can pay him 500 caps and he'll get you a fake passport to enter. Or you, if you have a barter high enough, he'll lower to 375 caps and you can get your passport to get into New Vegas. He's involved in the quests King's Gambit and Wang Dang Atomic Tango. He actually has a line about pimping not being easy, which, you know, some people don't. It's hard out here. And it's like only if you talk to him while doing a certain quest. But again, these are just small things about Mick and Ralph that I was always under the assumption they were much bigger than we had any idea. In my mind, Mick and Ralph are the third largest trade commission in New Vegas. They're monstrous. They rot. Like, I don't know how my brain just developed this far into thinking that they just were big and huge and massive when in all reality, they're really not. They're really just a couple of fellas who are just trying to make a living. Some notes, some fun facts for you. Again, these are directly off of falloutourfandom.com. And this one didn't make sense to me. It's why I wanted to read it. If the Mick and Ralph crier near the central gate is shot by the player character or a companion, they will no longer be able to buy anything from either Mick or Ralph. They will say how they don't like the way they treat their friends and tell them to leave. Super dope. The crier is a child. You can't do that to children. So I want to know if like I go in and I try it, if something happens and like they just don't allow you to sell to them. The kid also says, wow, I can almost see all the way through the end of your barrel if you aim a gun at him. When you get access to Mick's special room and you get to buy all the extra weapons, it'll feature in his special inventory a tri-beam laser rifle, a railway rifle, two infiltrators, and a Chinese pistol, all models from Fallout 3, on the high right side of the wall. None of these weapons are actually sold by him, and they're display items and not actual weapons. They are inactive, non-interactable decoration. If the player uses any means of continuing the game after the ending slideshow, Ralph will comment on the outcome of the battle, the second battle of Hoover Dam. There was supposed to be a way to play the game afterwards, but for some reason it didn't happen. Maybe because the game was only made in 18 months. Who knows? That's just my running guess. My running theory. A fan theory. A game theory, if you will. But if you could, there are some files left in the game where Ralph will talk about it. Mick and Ralph, I have written down, Mick and Ralph sleep in the same bed. Cause they're bros. Who kiss bros. They're gay fellas. Sometimes Mick's inventory just won't refresh, and there is a way to fix it by entering and exiting and talking to both of them, but sometimes it just doesn't work. And then you're just locked out of using them for the rest of the game. Ralph will greet Arcade Ganon if one enters the store with him as your companion, implying that either Arcane has been to the store or knows them, but if he was a follower from Freeside and the old Mormon fort, he more than likely knows pretty much everybody who lives in Freeside. Now, like I said, I thought Mick and Ralph were the biggest traders, merchants, in New Vegas. For some reason, I have no idea why, it was like the Gunrunners and then them. They are a mom and pop shop. They are hashtag shop local. They are a very big memory of mine when it comes to New Vegas. When I think of New Vegas, I think of Mick and Ralph. You know, I think of the Legion. I think of Yes Man. I think of Benny. I think of a myriad of things. I think of Doc Mitchell. I think of Good Springs. I think of the Cemetery. I think of Yes Man. You know, I think of Courier, and I think of Joshua Graham, you know, yea by the river of Babel. Like, I think of all that. But Mick and Ralph stick out. And I don't know why. It might be the Pimp Boy 3 billion. There's a quest that you can do with them, the How Little We Know quest, where you have to figure out why Troik is selling to the Omeritas. And if you do it in a certain way, and you get the Omeritas to buy from Mick and Ralph again, buy their weapons from Mick and Ralph again, you get the Pimp Boy 3 billion, the gold diamond studded, it's got jewels. It when you open up for the first time, it makes a noise. You can get it swapped out if you think it's too gaudy and annoying. The Pimp Boy 3 billion, maybe that's what it is. Because I remember every run I did, I had to have it. I thought it was the coolest thing in the world, and I had to have it. And I hope you interact with them in a similar manner to the way I'm used to interacting with them next time you play, because that is this week's lore. Hey, hey, everybody. Welcome to segment 3. For segment 3, there's something we got to talk about real quick. I don't know if you guys are still using Twitter. I'm kind of two minds about it. I'm using it for like news and stuff. But not really. I'm using it. I don't think I'm going to be posting on it much more. I'm going to check things. Kyle sends me a lot of news from it, like game news. So, you know, I'll use it for that, but I don't know how much I'm going to be using. Anyway, I saw recently that Wes Johnson was found unresponsive in his hotel room. He's fine now. He's alive, as far as I know. Who knows? I'm recording this on February 5th, 2025. So who knows? Maybe it was just a one-time thing. From what I understand, he was in Atlanta. I could be wrong when I say this. But if I remember correctly, he was in Atlanta. And someone found him, and he's been out. Bethesda said something. I actually heard about it originally, I believe, from Ken of Chad, the 76 podcast. I believe I saw him tweet something about it. And I don't know. He seems to be okay. But it's one of those where, like, you know, the characters that we come to know in games mean so much to us for different reasons. I met Wes. Here, I mean, you know, any chance I can, I'll show it off. You can't really see it. The marker that we used wasn't great. I'm actually a little upset about it, but what are you going to do? You know, this is my copy of Fallout 3 that I got on my 11th, 12th birthday. And he wrote, he said to me, he's like, what do you want it signed as? And I was like, is something troubling you, my friend? Because it's something we used to say growing up. It turns out that's not even the exact quote. That's like our own misnomer, I believe, is the term for it, but I don't think is part of that. I think it's just something troubling you, my friend. Anyway, you know, it's someone who I've met. I actually have another signature of his on a Vault Boy mask down here. There's a bunch of interactions that we've had with people that will never actually get to, it's never be reciprocated. It's always parasocial. And I think parasocial relationships in the day and age we live in just exist. But I can't not imagine that back in the 30s, if you were a big fan of a certain writer, you had a parasocial relationship with them because you would read their interviews in magazines and newspapers. You would read all of their books. Maybe, I don't know if they had like cons back in the day, but who knows? Maybe you would run into a writer if you were in the big city looking about. Things like that. Their parasocial relationships always exist. But it was one of those things that when I heard that Wes Johnson was sick, he was hurting, I felt something. I felt something that I was surprised to feel. Maybe it's because I met him. Maybe because I met him dressed as the Silver Shroud, and all day he just continuously spouted off things from the game, which is a wild experience to hear. Like, he did a ton of the Protectrons in Fallout 4, and I believe in 3 as well, but I could be wrong. But he did a bunch of Protectrons. And he's just spewing things that they say, you know, saying mutant quotes, saying Silver Shroud stuff. And it's one of those things where it's just wild to be around because you're like, oh my God, that's that thing that I've sunk hours and hours and hours into. And it's in front of me. Like, I'm watching it happen. I had a conversation with him. Like, so, you know, if you want, you can always message the guy and just be like, hey man, sorry to hear about what happened. He usually answers people. Usually. So, I mean, I don't know, maybe because of his health waning, in a direction. I mean, I hope he's fine. As far as I know, he's okay. But I just wanted to talk about it because it was a weird thing that, like, you know, Matthew Perry, who played Benny, was here and then he was gone. It wasn't like he was, oh, I'm this and that. We just found out that he drowned and that was it. There was no, you know, there was no like, oh, hey, Matthew Perry's on his way out. this and that. And like, you know, maybe the community came together and did something. But I saw the community come together, man, for Wes. He's a big part of Fallout fans' lives, especially if you just like the voice acting, especially if you've just killed as many super mutants as I have in Fallout 3. I hope you've enjoyed this week's episode. This has been Atomic Radio Hour, the post-nuclear podcast. I've been your host, Vince. This has been episode 337. Once again, I want to thank the Patreon, the Ghoulman Entertainment Patreon. Give it a look-see if you haven't already. Please just check it out. Share it with a friend. Share the show with a friend. In the description below is a link to my Twitter, the show's Twitter, and Kyle's Twitter. Again, I'm not really sure where I am with Twitter right now. There is also a link to the Discord. Check out the Discord. I hope you guys have enjoyed. Sorry for missing last week. Like I said, I was rather sick. But thank you for being here this week. It was a blast, as always. Very happy to get back in the swing of things. I love you, and I'll be seeing you next week. Bye, everybody.
Atomic Radio Hour Podcast.
A Ghoulman Entertainment Production.